The unsurpassed, penetrating and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha.
So here we are, the festival of our Sadhguru, the Buddha of healing. And many of us have had cause to call upon our Sadhguru with various illnesses. People often pray and ask for his help when they're sick or somebody they love is sick. In temples in the East, on one side of the hall, you see tablets or offerings of merit for those who have died, Amitabha's Western Pure Land. On the other side of the hall, you see offerings of merit for those who are sick, and that is by Sadhguru's land, the Eastern Land of Lagas Lajali. His color is blue, Amitabha's color is yellow, I believe. Maybe Sadhguru's red over there, I don't know. Anyway, there's two sections, and of course, you end up with Amitabha one way or another, because you're probably going to die at one point. But in the meantime, Sadhguru is somebody that people revere, pray to, and ask for help. And it can be very comforting to do that for people. The medicine Buddha. We say that there are the two kinds of medicine. There's the physical medicine for illness, and the spiritual medicine, the Dharma. And you need both, because we have both spiritual illness and physical illness. And I have to say, it's very comforting when you see your dear friend in the hospital being taken care of by people who know what they're doing and taking care of the physical side of things. And sometimes modern medicine doesn't work. It doesn't, you know, people die. We're all going to die eventually. And yet, it's just, we don't want it to happen. Just yet. So we have the physical medicine and spiritual medicine to help us. Yes. Well, we've seen a lot of impermanence lately. Have you seen people, you know, a number of people we know have died? You have somebody in the hospital? The sudden fire that we had in Weed a couple of weeks ago that wiped out a good part of the town in a very, very short time. Just impermanence right before our eyes, in all kinds of ways, with illness, death, fire, loss. You know. And having these things happen really brings home the fact of impermanence, that everything changes all the time, nothing lasts forever. And something occurs in phases, you have this nice sort of seemingly stable time for a while, and suddenly everything breaks loose, and you think, whoa, what's going to be next? Even the change in the weather makes you think of impermanence, because it's suddenly cooler and damper, and it's nice, but then next day it'll be hotter and drier, and probably have forest fires again, and all that. It just goes back and forth. Everything changes all the time. And we're just little fragile beings on this fragile little planet, as we often say. There's nothing in this world that does not change. There's nothing in this world that we can rely on. Things change very quickly sometimes. We can get sick and die. Our friends and relatives can get sick and die. Our relationships can fall apart. We may lose our livelihood. All kinds of cheerful things can happen to us. It all sounds pretty depressing. And yet it passes. You know, things change. This is the good side of impermanence. So the awful things also pass. It's not just that all the nice things pass. We have happy times, unhappy times, good things, bad things, they all come. Friendships, love, the satisfaction of doing a job well, you know, the little things of life that bring us joy, yes, they tend to pass. And so do the unhappy things, they pass. We get over some of our grief, you know, some of the things that beset us, and we just continue. Everything changes. Light and dark, light and dark. We can't stay miserable forever unless you really, really work at it. And of course, as the Buddha said, suffering is caused by clinging. The Four Noble Truths. The Buddha often likened himself to a doctor who diagnoses this, the cause of something, prescribes a cure. In ancient India, the formula for what a doctor would do is first he'd say that there is an illness, this is the illness. This is the cause of the illness, the second thing. Can it be treated, yes or no? And what's the treatment? The four things, the four noble truths. First, there is suffering. This is the illness. We have suffering. We all have unsatisfactoriness in varying degrees at varying times in our lives. What's the cause? Ignorance and clinging, he says, especially clinging. Can we cure it? Can we do something? Yes, we can. And what do? We follow the Noble Eightfold Path. Right livelihood, right thought, right intention, right speech, right action, and so on. The four noble truths. The four ways of alleviating the illness, of suffering. The medicine of the Dharma. When we're physically sick, we also do need the Dharma to help us bear it, to remain still and accept it. We need medicine, yes, and do all that. And yet, we also need to be able to remain still and accept it. Otherwise, if we're just flailing around in panic, we can't really help ourselves. If we didn't remain still, we can help ourselves get physically better. It also just helps a whole lot with the suffering of the illness. Anyone who has chronic pain or illness knows that the medical help is often limited. You can do a certain amount. You can't take it all away sometimes. Sometimes people just have chronic pain or chronic sickness, and there's not a whole lot medical science can do. And we have to help ourselves by practicing acceptance, stillness, practicing the Dharma. No matter what our situation, whether it's a brief, acute thing or a long chronic illness, to help ourselves with the practice of the Dharma helps immeasurably, because then we're not flailing around in a panic. We can accept it and see how we can train with it. On the other hand, if we don't attend to the physical side, if we get sick and we think, oh, this is all caused by my spiritual unworthiness, my karma, and there's nothing I can do, then we're missing something. Thinking that if I only just trained properly, you know, if I was really a good person, I wouldn't be getting sick like this, I shouldn't be getting ill. But this isn't correct, it's one-sided, it's also a bit judgmental. If I'm sick, it's because I'm doing something wrong. I don't think so. We may need to look at causes of sickness that are on a spiritual level, but also take care of it. Go to the doctor, do something. We need both. Both the physical medicine and the spiritual medicine. In varying degrees for varying things, but not to rule out one or the other. Sometimes we might see a spiritual cause of the illness, but the illness may not go away. We may still have to deal with it for our whole life. We need to be practical, get medical help and the spiritual help. But the spiritual help is the most effective and works for everything. And of course, we've got our usual greed, anger and delusion, just our normal states of mind. The three poisons. And we need medicine for these poisons, the medicine of the Dharma. Anger, a very common affliction for about all of us. Everybody asks about anger. What do I do about my anger? All kinds of ways. Of course, the Dharma helps immeasurably. The medicine of the Dharma cools that anger. I think Nyingma Sadaisri, in his a beautiful little invitation he wrote, when our minds are stressed, cool our minds and spirits hot, the level of the Dharma, something like that. The medicine of the Dharma, patience and acceptance to cool that hot fire, just sitting still, being patient, accepting it. Somebody yesterday said that when Lord Master was asked, what do I do with my anger? She said, when you're angry, you breathe fast. And if you can just breathe slowly, physically breathe slowly, then it helps to cool the anger. You just physically breathe more slowly. I hadn't heard that before. Thank you. It's wonderful. Simple. And compassion. Compassion for the situation we're in. Compassion for whoever may have sparked our anger and our upset. Compassion for ourselves for being in this miserable, angry state. Fear and worry also are suffering. We're all prone to fear and worry. Sometimes we're worried about something quite small and insignificant. Then something big happens and it just, lose it away. Sometimes we're worried about something we can't do anything about at all. So why worry, in a way? Like being afraid of getting sick, where we can do what we can to remain healthy, but we can still get sick. We can do what we can to safeguard our house and our livelihood and so forth. But a fire can still come through and blow it away. And often the most frightening things that happen to us are things we haven't even thought about worrying about. And if we had thought about worrying about them, would it have helped? Probably not. Sometimes you can, guard against something and forestall something, but quite often it just blows in and wipes things away. And that is when we apply the Dharma, because that will not blow away. Selfishness, our own plain old selfishness, my view of everything. It's a suffering. And the more closed we are in on ourselves, the more concerned we are about ourselves, the more we suffer, the less happy we are. If we're more concerned about other beings or helping other beings, not that we ignore ourselves, but if we're just being aware that we're just part of everybody and not something special, we tend to be a lot more content and joyful than if we're just thinking about me and my stuff and my life and my everything. That's a miserable state of mind. Peace of heart has very little to do with having a lot of material goods or perfect health, as most of us know. And with all these various forms of physical illness and suffering, spiritual illness, the three poisons of greed, anger, and delusion, the very best medicine is the Dharma, the practice of meditation, acceptance, the precepts, not dwelling in endlessly in ourselves, just all the things you talk about all the time that I voiced it every other week. The practice of faith. This is the fundamental aspect, I think, the practice of faith, faith in the Dharma. In the face of impermanence, there's nothing in this world that we can really rely on, even for a moment, actually. What do? We practice faith. To take refuge deeply in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. To do our very best to turn towards the practice, the training, that which is constant, that which really helps us. It's the only thing we can really do. It's the only thing that actually, really, in the end, helps us. When those winds blow through, the Dharma remains. Impermanence drives us to this true refuge. Impermanence is not a bad thing. It drives us towards that which does not change. The unborn, undying, unchanging. And maybe impermanence is the medicine. It's not that the medicine cures impermanence. Impermanence is always going to be here. But impermanence drives us to Buddha nature. It's not a bad thing. It doesn't always feel so good. The medicine is sometimes bitter. But in the end, it helps us to change, to grow, to take the true refuge. When we're sick, when we're unhappy, when things disappear, when the house burns down, all these things that can happen, we lose the people we love. The Buddha Dharma is always there. Queen Aang, the sixth ancestor, said, impermanence is Buddha nature. It is the thing that helps us. It is that which on me In a sense, impermanence is the flow of everything. And we can rely on the unborn, unchanging. Within that flow, they're not separate things. It's not that here's everything happening over here and here's a nice solid thing. The very flow itself is the flow of the unborn, undying. It's like entrusting ourselves to the river, trusting that it will hold us up. It won't flounce against the rocks. The constant flow of life, the activity of Buddha, of Buddha nature. And to sit still within this constant flow, entrusting ourselves to it, rooted in this moment, this constantly changing moment. All we have is this moment right now, as we sit in our little boat or without our little boat, in this river of life. All we have is this moment here and now. Past is gone, future's not here. All the things that come our way, we can deal with them. Health, sickness, gain and loss, joy and sorrow, life and death, they all come and go. And yet that river goes on. We will get flattened against the rocks. And yet, the river continues. Just the little weed. Who knows where that goes? This little me, this little self, comes and goes. And yet Buddha nature, of which we are part, does not disappear. It is always there to be relied on. We entrust ourselves to that flow. Within all the vicissitudes of life and death, joy and sorrow. And all we can do is to live in this very moment and entrust ourselves completely to that which sustains and helps us, which will not let us down. Because the true heart does not get flattened against the rocks. The true heart is sustained within that river of life. And I think this is the teaching of Vaisajaguru, the medicine of the Dharma, bearing in mind impermanence within that very flow of life, the medicine of the Dharma that sustains us through everything, which we turn to in all conditions. Everything changes, and yet Buddha nature is always present. We are always part of it, and nothing can mess that up. And so when the wind blows through, it takes away everything. Buddha nature is not lost, it's always there, it doesn't blow away. And this is what Vaisajaguru gives to us, this medicine of the Dharma, faith on which we completely can rely, and not to be enslaved by fear and worry. To let them come and go, they're just fear and worry, just feeling. To sit still in the midst of all of it and let the river bear us where it will. Thank you.